You might say, I feel led. I feel like I've been led. I'm being led. Well, that's not always a bad thing. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you can't go by that. But have you ever felt led? Have you ever felt like like God is leading you to do something? And you can feel that. If you're in God's will and you're in God's word, you can feel that. Sometimes he'll stir you. And the old hymn, we'll sing it tonight, says, he leadeth me. Amen. And he's, I think it says, oh, what a glorious thought, he leadeth me. And before I was saved, I was lost.
Right.
Have you ever thought why they call that lost? Because he didn't lead us. We were lost. We were leading ourselves, and we were wandering like wandering sheep, and we were lost. So therefore, he didn't lead us. We led us, and any time we lead us, we're going to fall into the ditch. Amen? Jesus said, the blind leading the blind, you'll both fall into a ditch. And boy, I fell in a bunch of ditches, didn't you?
Yeah.
Amen. I thank God one day he saved me so he could lead me.
Amen.
And I guess I'm not going to go to it, but probably the most well-known popular verse would be 23rd Psalm, he leadeth me. So I want to get into some other verses tonight, though. I want to talk to you about being led by God. Now, Psalm 139 verse 10 says this. Psalm 139 verse 10 says, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Even there. He said, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if I ascend up to heaven, he's there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me. Now that's a personal leading. It's me. This is one time in the Bible that it's okay to be about me. Now, this is not the Me Too movement. We're not all about being me, 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 me. But in this verse, he says that he leads me. Now, that's a personal leading. Before I was a Christian, I thought Christianity was just a general thing. You know, you had these services you had to go to. You had these ceremonies you had to go through, you know, kind of like joining a club and attending meetings, you know. And but I didn't know that God would adopt me in his family as his son and lead me, personally lead me. He personally leads me. And boy, I'm happy about that because I never had a father, never met my father. I never had a father to lead me. And God's adopted me into his heavenly family, and he's made me his son. And he calls me son, and he tells me to call him father.
Amen.
Abba, Papa. He tells me to call him Papa, call him Daddy. Now, so that leading is a personal leading. Now, did you know he's got to lead me before I can lead others?
Yes.
Now, when I was young, I was kind of a loner. I was a loner. I had friends, but they wasn't real close. I probably had one or two real close friends, but I didn't follow the crowd. I just wasn't a crowd person. I'm still not a crowd person. And, but kind of a loner and didn't follow well. I didn't follow people very well. And in some ways that's good. It kept me out of a lot of trouble. But on the other hand, it's bad. It lost me a lot of jobs too. Because I didn't like to follow what the boss man said either. Amen. And, I was all about me, but it was for the wrong reason. I wanted to lead me. Now I would tell others what to do. I'd be glad to tell you what to do. I'd lead you. But it usually ends up in a mess if you let me lead you. And so before I was saved, my wife and I got married, and we started having babies, and the pastor came over to the house, you know, Pastor Falkenberry from Eastside Baptist Church, and I didn't know nothing about God or the Bible or church, you know, and 20-something years old, and he'd say, Ron, you need to get saved. And I remember telling him plain as day, I said, Pastor, when I quit drinking and doing all these things I do and running around these people I'm running around with, I'm going to come to church and I'm going to join your church and I'm going to get baptized and I want to help young people. No, I wasn't but 22 then, I guess. 21, 22. I said, I want to help young people. He said, you want to be a teacher of young people? I said, yeah. He said, what are you going to teach them? I said, I'm going to teach them not to do all these things I've done. He said, son, you want to lead young people? Where are you going to lead them? You're going to lead them to hell, son. You're going to hell. Oh, my goodness. I'm glad that was a real preacher. He wasn't one of these nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching, panty-waist preachers. I'm glad he was an old-fashioned preacher that wasn't afraid to tell you the truth. And I'm glad he told me the truth because I couldn't lead anybody. And then as the Lord began to convict me and draw me to the Savior and show me my sinfulness and that I needed a Savior, I'd think about my children. I didn't want my children to grow up like me without a father. And I wanted to be their leader, but I kept thinking, I can't be their leader. I don't even know where I'm going myself. Amen. But thank God when I got saved that day. Amen. That was all about me. He leadeth me. Now I can lead others. Amen. He leads me wherever I go. If I go to hell, he's there. If I go to heaven, he's there. If I go out there to the depths of the sea, he's there. The highest mountain, he's there. The lowest valley, he's there. And now I can lead others. I can put me first. I can put me first right there. He leadeth me. Amen. 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 Romans chapter 2, verse 4, real quick. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Now, in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, he said, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? He said, what he told me, you know, kind of like if I'm talking to me, do you despise the goodness of God? Do you despise his long suffering toward you? Don't you know that his goodness is there to lead you to repentance? That means turn from self and turn to him. And that's what his goodness is all about. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Now, first we got to see how bad we are and the end result of that, where that's going to lead. And when we see that, then that convicts us. And then God shows us Jesus through his word, through his spirit. He'll reveal to us the love of God through Christ Jesus. And then we think, as sorry as I am, and I ought to go to hell, and I don't deserve to go to heaven, and he loves me anyway. And that leads us to repentance. Yes. See, you didn't get saved because you were scared of going to hell. You already knew you was going to hell. You got saved because you saw the love of God in Christ Jesus, and you came to him because he led you to repent and come to him. Well, I like that. He leadeth me. In the first place, he led me to was repentance through the love of God. Amen. Who am I? He sings it. Who am I that a king would die for? Amen. Well, that'll make anybody come to him. And then Proverbs chapter 20, verse 24. Am I going too fast? Proverbs 20, verse 24. I got a lot to say. It says, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? Now, did you know his leading is always provided? Man's goings are of the Lord. That means whatever path you're on, that's of the Lord. That's what a man's goings are of the Lord. And before I was saved, it didn't shock God where I was because God knew where I was and where I was going. And he was participating some, drawing me and loving me and putting people in my life and showing me the Savior. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? A man's goings of the Lord. So a leading is provided. And he said man's. That means mankind. Mankind. Everybody, the leading of the Lord is provided to whosoever will. Anybody can get saved. Because God can get in where you're going and lead you where he wants you to go. Amen. I like that. He interrupted my life.
Yes, sir.
I used to say I didn't know, I didn't care, and I didn't want to hear. Amen. Amen. But he interrupted my life. Amen. He got in my goings. It was of the Lord. If you look back over your life, think about it. A lot of us had some hard, real hard lives, and we had hard pasts and heartbreaking and all these things, and a lot of them brought on by ourselves. But we look back through it right now, and we can see God in every bit of it.
Yes, sir.
That car wreck, I should have died. God was in that car wreck. That nightclub that night, when them people was fighting, they could have beat my brains out, too. And God let me live through that. And that old boy that ended up robbing and killing somebody, he could have robbed and killed me. I hung around with him, or I drank this, or I smoked that, or I did this. And God was in every bit of it. Now we look back on it, and we say, except by the grace of God, there do what? Go. God's in man's goings. And listen, his lead is provided for all. And on anywhere on that journey, if somebody just wake up and see the goodness of God and turn, he will start leading them instead of them leading them. Amen. Psalm 31:3. Am I going too fast? Well, I am for me. Psalm 31:3. All right, there it is. In verse 3, he said, for thou art my rock and my fortress.
Amen. Yeah.
Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Amen. Did you know his leading is just plain as it can be? It's just plain as it can be. He says, you're my rock, you're my fortress. That's plain speaking. That's just plain speaking. His leading is plain. It's easy to follow. Look, it's easy to see. And it's solid as a rock. Once you find his leading, you'll never have to worry about being led wrong again. And look, you'll be established. He'll establish you going forth. And he'll lead you. And that's, hey, that's rock solid. You can take it to the bank. Amen?
Amen.
Some people lead you. You don't know what they're going to do. You don't know if they're leading you right or wrong. Get a new job. You look at this guy. You look at this gal. You know, you say, I got this job and that's my leader. And you stand there and scratch my head. They ain't got a clue what they're doing. How am I supposed to know what they're doing? But God ain't like that. You'll always know God's in it and that he's leading you and it'll be a solid path. Amen. You'll never sink in the mire and the clay on his path. Amen. And I'm hurrying for a purpose. Psalm 61. In Psalm 61, look at verse 2. Verse 1 says, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
Amen.
Now what does that mean? Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Well, if the water's rising, you're going to hunt for a rock to climb up on.
Amen.
Amen? And hey, when the waters are rising around us in the storms of life, he's the rock. God's going to lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I just try to keep my head above water. He'll lift me up out of that water and put me on the solid rock.
Amen.
And it's higher than I. And listen, that's a pleasant thought to me because I'm not real good at keeping my head above water. Amen. That's a pleasant thought. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. He'll take care of me. I don't have to worry about drowning in the things of this old world. He's going to take care of me. He's established my going forth. He's put me on the solid rock. And that rock's higher than I am. I can't always depend on me, but I can depend on that rock.
Yes.
1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 2. Well, I'll start with verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Now, I just want to thank God that he leads me, and that's a pleasant thought that I can live a quiet and a peaceable life. You know, I used to be a rebel. I rebelled against rules. I didn't grow up. Wasn't a good rule keeper. I'm still not a real good rule keeper. You know, sometimes a speed limit sign's a challenge or something, you know. Sometimes I think I-77 is 177, but I've never been a real good rule keeper. But since God has begun to lead me, I was thinking the other night, by 10 o'clock, me and my wife sound asleep. She's on the couch. I'm in the easy chair, you know, and we're watching some. We done got hooked up on these British shows, you know, And they're kind of romantic, you know, and it's got this, always got a little princess and and you just can't help it. You want to see the poor guy raised up. He's never going to do it in English culture. You know, he's always going to be in that caste society. He's never going to get to rise up. But we've been watching. And usually my wife sleeps by 9:30. And I'm still watching, you know. And by 10, I'm over going. And a lot of times we have started over the next night.
Amen.
I couldn't remember. But then the other day I was thinking about that and I thought, boy, I remember when 1973, I was driving a 1971 Dodge Demon. A little devil driving a demon up and down the streets. And we'd have thought 10:30. We'd say, why does old people go to sleep so early? I was working third shift and get off on Friday and didn't have to work Friday night or Saturday night, you know. So I just stay up. I stayed up 3 days in a row without sleep. You know why? I was afraid I was going to miss something.
Yeah.
And I'd be running up down the road trying to see who I could see and afraid I was going to miss something, you know. And in Lancaster, that just meant you rode up and down Main Street and ran the other block and up and down Main Street and you threw water balloons and shot each other water guns until they started getting fireworks and all that stuff. But I didn't want to be still. I was afraid I was going to miss something. But the main reason that people are like that, they have no peace.
Right.
Amen.
And we were looking for something to satisfy us and give us peace.
Amen.
We sang about, we're the ones that wrote the song and sang the songs about peace and love. Little boy came to church one day and I think little boy said something to my wife about not being cool. And she looked at him and said, son, we invented cool. What was cool before you was ever born? You still listen to our music when you go to the store. You still listen to our music when you're on the elevator. You still listen to our music when you go somewhere and they're feeding you somewhere. We was cool before you knew how to spell cool. But we didn't have any peace. We were looking for something. Amen. And they sang songs about, you know, out on the highway and over the next hill and all that stuff, you know. And then March 5th, 1978, when I accepted Jesus Christ, I asked him to save me. Guess what? I don't mind being asleep at 10 o'clock. Amen. I kind of enjoy it because I get up the next day and I'm not as sleepy as I used to be. Amen. And after staying up 3 days, you start hallucinating anyway. You don't need acid. Just stay up 3 or 4 days. You'll start seeing things. Who is that? Just see him out of your corner of your eye. Amen. But listen, we didn't have any peace. And it's pleasant to be led by the Lord because I got peace.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The whole world seems to be going to hell in a handbasket. And they're fussing and they're fighting and they're cussing and they're killing and they're shooting and they're stabbing and they're burning and they're destroying. And I've got peace.
Amen.
Somebody said the other day, I said, preacher, ain't you worried about that? Not one bit. Not one bit. I've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. I can't explain it, but it's deep down in my soul. And that's pleasant leading. God has led me pleasantly in a pleasant place where I can have the peace of God.
Amen.
We get concerned about things, but we never get, we used to say toe up over. Did y'all say toe up?
Yeah.
I also meant drunk, so you have to watch who you say it to. Did you know our lives will be quiet and peaceful? He said that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life. Now, don't think Christianity is not exciting. It is. I've seen miracles after miracles after miracles. I've experienced the power and presence of God in the room with me and in me.
Amen.
The most powerful thing you'll ever know, the most exciting thing you'll ever know is God in you and on you.
Yes, sir.
Don't think we live a boring life. We don't, but we live a peaceable and a quiet life. We don't want to fight with you. We don't want to fuss with you. We want to love you and want to help you. We want to get you to the one that we follow so he can lead you to.
Amen.
You say, well, you don't want us to... when I was lost, I used to think Christians didn't want me to have any fun. I thought my mama had some kind of secret experience and she didn't want me to experience that. That's why she didn't want me to do those things. We thought they were hiding something from us. So we had to try it. Amen? And then found out it wasn't fun after all.
Amen.
You know, when you're young, you don't mind kissing a girl, but you wake up kissing a commode and throwing up. That ain't exactly fun. Amen? You ever threw up till you felt like your goozle was going to come out, you know? Amen. But you get saved and you want to live a quiet and a peaceable life.
Amen.
I don't have any enemies. I don't hate anybody. I get angry. God gets angry with the wicked every day. I get angry, but I don't hate people.
Amen.
If you try to hurt me, I might turn the other cheek, but he didn't tell me what to do after that. Amen. So you might get a surprise. Used to have this black man from down around Charleston used to come to my church, and he spoke Geechee, you know, that language they speak down there. It's part French or something. And there's some old boys at church got mad at me one time. They told him, said, we're going to go whoop Preacher Ron's butt. And he came over and he told me, he said, I told those young boys, said, he may be a lot older than you, but you know what that means? And they said, what? Said, you got a lot more experience than you do too. He might whoop all three of your butts and throw you out. But I don't want to do that. I want to live a quiet and a peaceful life. I don't want to fight the police. Now, I used to. Boy, we teenage boys used to get together. We'd do some bad stuff. And sometimes we'd do it just to get the police to come. In Lancaster, we'd see who had the best hot rod by who could outrun the city police on Friday and Saturday night. That's what we did for fun. We outrun the police. I wouldn't do that now. Though I think my I better not say that. Listen, we are being led pleasantly by God. I've seen Christians get so upset about stuff and just get all out of sorts. And I want to look at them and say, would you just calm down and let the Lord lead you in this? We all get upset. We all want to quit sometimes. We all get our feelings hurt. But if we'll just stop and think and pray a little bit, you'll feel God's hand on you, leading you the way you ought to go. I want to live a quiet... Did you know I want to die a quiet and peaceable life? I don't want to be in a riot. I don't want to be in a fist fight. I don't want the police to shoot me. I want to lead a quiet and then I want to leave quiet and peaceably, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Now, why not let him take the reins? You know, like the horse, you're riding the horse. Why not let the Lord take the reins and lead you?
Amen.
You see, our number one problem as Baptists, we're old-fashioned Baptists, and they used to call us hard shell. They said we're hard. We're not hard. But our problem is sometimes we want to lead, and he has to put us through something, so we'll say, oh, Lord, here.
Yeah.
That country song, she sang, Jesus, take the wheel. I think it was too late by the time she sang that. But why won't we just let him take the reins? Why don't we let him chart our course?
That's right, amen.
I've always wanted to know what was over the next hill, what was around the next curve. My wife tell you, we'll be going somewhere, and I say, I wonder what's down that road. She'll say, you just stay on this road. You ever do that? You ever go somewhere and say, man, that was pretty. That was pretty. I wonder where that road goes.
Yeah.
And Belinda takes it.
Every time.
But let me tell you something. Why don't we let him drive? Why don't we let him lead? Amen? Why don't we let him chart our course? Sometimes I get ahead of God. I start planning things. I want everything to work out right. I want everything to turn out right. I hate to go to church where it's disorganized. I hate to go to church where there's confusion. I like things done decently and in order. I've been accused of being a control freak and all this stuff, but that's just the way I like it. But I sometimes I have to watch out, because I'll start charting that course so far ahead that the Lord's still back there on number two and I'm on number 10. And he's got to interrupt me and say, wait a minute, you left me back here at two. I don't want to do it that way. Let's go this way. But I want him to do that.
Amen. Yes.
I'm not smart enough to lead me. I figured that out March 5th, 1978. Amen. When I got saved, I knew if I led me, I was going to burn.
Yep.
Why don't we follow his way? Jesus said, I'm the way. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And you got all these religious kooks running around here now, all kind of cults and kooks, and they're trying to say this way and that way. And Jesus said, I'm the way.
Only way.
He's the one way. That's it. And by the way, it is one way. You follow him, it's going to be one way. It'll take you straight to glory. It's the narrow way. That's what you get when you get a preacher in the crowd. Nice, I am too. Keep it up, brother. You're doing it. Why don't we follow it? People say, you're of the Baptist denomination. You're not Catholic and you're not Presbyterian and you're not Pentecostal and you're not Methodist. I said, I'm a Bible-believing Christian.
Amen.
And I try to follow the Lord by following the Word of God his way. I didn't name me Baptist, the world did.
That's right.
Because of what I believe the Bible to be the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God.
Right.
I believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, died in sinner's place, rose from the dead the third day to prove he had victory over death, hell, and the grave, ascended up to heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of the Father interceding for us, and one day he's coming back in all his glory. And I believe if you believe on him and trust in him, you can get born again, you get saved. And when you get born again and get saved, he says believe and get baptized, because that baptism represents the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so I'm not ashamed of getting baptized. And not only do I believe he can save me that way, but I believe he can keep me too. I don't have to keep me. He keeps me. And then the world says, oh, you must be one of them Baptists.
Amen.
And I say, amen. Amen, that's what I am. I'm not ashamed of that. When I first got saved, I went down to the public library. I started hearing all these preachers talk about these great preachers. So I went to the public library and found a biography on every one of them. You wouldn't believe it. In the public library, there's a biography on every great preacher that's ever lived in America. And I read their biographies, and I read their histories, and I read their sermons. And I went all the way back in history to the first church and through the church ages, studying that stuff, you know. And it was four volumes of denominations and what they believe and where they came from and who founded it. And the last one, it said, and then there's Baptists. It said there's Presbyterians. John Calvin founded them. He was a Catholic priest that got kicked out of the Catholic Church. He founded the Presbyterians. There was John Huss. He founded the Presbyterians in Scotland. There was Martin Luther. He got kicked out of the Catholic Church and he founded the Lutherans. And the Wesley brothers, and they founded the Methodist Church. And then there's the Baptists, and nobody knows who founded the Baptist. They have no book of doctrines. They have no book of prayers. They say all they use is scripture. All they have, their guide is the Word of God, and they have no leader other than Jesus. I said, that's me right there. That's me. I didn't name me that. They did. Now, because of that, I don't fight all those other people. God bless them. I hope they get it right. But I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. If I go to hell, they're going to have to air condition it because he's promised to take me to heaven. And it Titus 1:2 says, to God that cannot lie. That's it. Now, because of that, in the way I'm headed, being led by the Holy Ghost, led by the Word of God, I just rest in that.
Yes.
I can rest in that. I've doubted a lot of things since I've been saved, since I accepted Christ. I've doubted if the church I was in several times was the church I should have been in. I doubted if the people that I called teachers should have been my teachers, and Bible college I went to should have been my Bible college and things like that. But I'll tell you something I've never had to doubt, and that's that I'm saved and going to heaven. And look, I've got peace on that. And I can lead a quiet and peaceful life because, see, I've got nothing to prove. I've got nobody to impress. Amen. I just want to follow him and let him be pleased with me. And if he's pleased with me and you ain't, you take that up with him, because it's him I'm following, not you. I won't follow you. Don't ask me to. I'm going to follow him.
Amen.
Now, if you're following him, me and you're on the same path, I'll walk with you. But if you get off the path, I ain't getting off that path. I'm on the narrow way. I'm going to stay on it. He said, don't turn to the right hand or the left. I'm staying that narrow way. And he says, few there be that find it.
Yes.
So I'm going to sit back and rest in it. Why? Because he leadeth me.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, what if you mess up? I've done that. Preacher, what if you fail? I've done that. Preacher, what if you sin? I've done that.
Yeah.
I have to ask every day for forgiveness of sin, not to be saved, but to stay in the will of God.
Amen.
Well, what if he lets you down? He can't let me down. It's impossible for him to let me down. I can let him down, but he can't let me down. Amen. So I'm going to rest in that. And I'm going to leave my way, and I'm going to let him lead me.
Yes.
Isaiah 30. I got 7 minutes. Is that right? Do I have 7 minutes? Oh my goodness. Isaiah 30. When you start having fun, time just flies. It's Wednesday night Bible study. Isaiah 30. Look at verse 21. Isaiah 30. And I'm going to wait on you. Verse 21. We got time. Again, well, he's talking about Israel and the people of Israel. Verse 20, he says this, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, sometimes he'll put you through things. And the water of affliction, sometimes you think you're going under. Yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. He said, I'm going to show you some things. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left, you shall defile also the covering of thy grave. And he goes on, talks about idols and things. But I want you to notice this. He said, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, the word. That still small voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Isaiah 5. 58, Isaiah 58, verse 11. Isaiah 58, verse 11. I'm talking about being led. It's a personal leading. It's provided anybody wants it. It's plain. It's pleasant. Now look at Isaiah 58. Look at verse 11. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and to make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Oh my goodness. You know, I used to say, I can't be a Christian, that'd be too hard. Gotta give up too much. I'm not gonna do that. But you know, I got saved, I surrendered to the Lord, I got saved March 5th, 1978, and as I began to read my Bible, I found out that Isaiah says the way of the transgressor is hard.
Yes.
Did you know if you let him lead you, you'll have an easier life than if you... What did he tell Paul? Why kickest thou against the pricks?
Yes.
Those little stones. He said, well, who are you, Lord? He said, my name's Jesus.
Amen.
He said, why are you kicking against me, Paul? I want to help you. I want to make somebody out of you.
Amen.
I want to use you for my glory, and you're kicking against me and fighting me. It's a whole lot easier to follow the Lord than it is to follow the flesh. See, this old flesh is selfish and sinful and vile and wicked. And from the bottom of our foot to the top of our head, there's no soundness in it, the Bible says. You can't trust it.
Nope.
You ever heard anybody say this? Well, if I know my heart. Well, Jeremiah says that you can't know your heart. It's deceitfully wicked and no man can know it. And your heart will deceive you and it'll lead you the wrong way. And when it gets you way down the road, it'll drop you off and leave you in a mess. And you'll wake up and say, how in the world did I get here? I used to follow the Lord. I've run up on a lot of people like that. They say, you know, I used to teach Sunday school. I used to be a preacher. I used to sing in the choir. I used to be a choir director. I used to be a deacon. I used to be a good church member. I used to be a tither. I used to testify. I used to witness to people. And I said, what happened? I said, I don't know. And I want to look at him and say, well, hold your hand out. I'll show you what happened. That mess right there you're carrying around. You tried to please that flesh and follow that flesh and what it wanted instead of letting the Lord lead you. And you'll never satisfy that thing. If you gave it enough water, you'd drink yourself sick. If you give this flesh the water it wants when you're hot, you'll drink yourself sick. You ever done that? A horse will drink himself to death. Mankind will alcohol. The man I thought was my father died at 45 years old because he drank himself to death. Alcohol poisoning. All at one time. I had a friend that was, but probably when he was 21 or 22, they had a big party. And they just had a bowl out there full of pills, and they had all the vodka and all the kinds of liquors you wanted, you know. And he was a drunk since he was 12. His mom and dad was drunks. His brothers was drunks. His sister was a drunk. And the old boy started popping a bunch of Valium, and he drank the pint. He killed the pint of that liquor, and they said he went there and said he was going to bed. He went to bed, and a couple of hours later, they went in there, and he had drowned on his own vomit. You can't please that flesh. You can't do it. So what you need to do is quit following that flesh. It'll kill you. The wages of sin is death. And hey, say, Lord, I don't know who you are, don't know where you are, don't know how I'm going to do it, but if you'll let me, I'll follow you. And I'll tell you what, he'll find you if you'll get in that attitude. I'm glad I feel led sometimes.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Sunday morning I'm going to come in here, and I hope I get to feeling led while I'm preaching. And I hope people will feel led to answer the call.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. If you're not saved tonight, let me tell you something. He desires to save anybody.
Amen.
He's in your leading right now. He's in your life. You're the only reason you're not, he's the only reason you're not already dead in hell.
Yeah.
He throws up roadblocks. He puts obstacles in your course to where you can't get through. He puts confusion in your path so that you'll turn to him. Now you can keep living that way and end up dying, go to hell, or you can just stop and say, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? And lead me, Lord. Father, thank you for your word.
Yes, Lord.
You sure are good to us. We're hard to lead. We're like sheep that go astray. God, we're those old dumb sheep. We'll walk off a cliff, Lord, if you don't lead us. Thank you. We praise your holy name for being so good to us. Thank you for leading these folks to church tonight.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And Lord, help us this week to follow you. In Jesus' name. Come on, brother. He's going to...